Welcome to another episode of Big Fish Radio. This is Captain Barry.
Did you forget the name of the show for a second?
I did. I almost said this is Tarpon World Radio. I legit almost said that. So,
Why don't you tell them what Tarpon World is?
Oh, okay. Thanks. That's a good plug. So Tarpon World is the name of my brand, and you can go to tarponworld.com or just type in Tarpon World in YouTube, watch my videos, or type in Tarpon World into Instagram, see some of my photos. Not those type of photos, but I think you guys get the gist of it.
Friend requests him on Facebook.
No. So, that's Alex there behind the mic and the keyboards and all the electronics. You want to give your plug, Alex?
My website's www.alexandrabenard.com. Benard is spelled B as in boy, E-N-A-R-D. And you can see something I once did in my life on that website.
Interesting. I have not checked that out. I'll have to do that here off air and then after this episode.
Yes.
And today, just like our last episode, Robert has stepped out and to fill his position, and those are big shoes to fill. We have, let me get all the titles right.
Listen, Robert's literally like a size 8, so don't even worry about
it. Shoot. That is Captain Josh Olive, the fish coach. What is your website, though? Fishcoach.com?
So, fishcoach.net.
.net.
Which is a great place to go and start learning about Southwest Florida fishing. I also publish Waterline Weekly Magazine, which you can check out at boatingandfishing.com. And we do a fishing radio show on Saturday mornings locally here. It's 2 hours long, so a little longer than this show, which you can check out at radiowaterline.com.
There we go. So we got all our credentials out of the way, and now we're going to go straight into the topic of discussion.
What is the show all about?
Clowns.
No.
We're a bunch of clowns. Just kidding. Clown knife fish is the fish of the day. So
clown knife fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, knife fish is a pretty good name for them. I don't know about the clown part. They just have some polka dots on them. So
they don't have big shoes?
They don't have big floppy shoes. They don't have red squeaky noses. They're not even brightly colored. No frizzy hair. So I would have called them polka dot knife fish if I had named them. But when they named them, they didn't ask me. So
how does it make you feel?
Well, I wasn't born yet, so I guess it's fair.
Okay, it's fair. I totally agree. Whoever's listening to this, if we can get Josh to name the next species in Florida, please contact Josh at thefishcoach.net.
That's right. Josh at fishcoach.net. That works.
So, Josh, I know out of the three of us here in the studio, you have, I would say, caught the most and the largest. So I would love to hear experience.
So that makes me the expert, is what you're saying.
Not at all. That's not where I'm going. I'm not trying to give you that.
I was going to say, this is unfair. This is a heavy burden that you're putting on me. So clown knife fish are another of our invasive exotic species that we have living here in Florida. This one came to us by way of India. And in India, they are a prized food fish. I mean, this is one of their absolute top choices if you go to the fish market. This is one of the highest priced fish that's there. So when I first caught a clown knife fish, wanted to do was eat it. Because
really?
I wanted to find out what the deal is here, because it's such, I mean, literally, it's the most expensive fish you can buy over there.
Wow.
And I said, all right, well, there's got to be something to this. I'll explain to you how that went in a little bit.
Is it touted as like an aphrodisiac, or
is it
actually for the meat?
No, it's for the meat. It's,
oh, wow.
It's a fish that they supposedly enjoy eating over there a lot.
Okay.
Here, it's mostly an aquarium fish. And you'll see these for sale sometimes in the fish stores. And usually when you do, they're little guys, maybe 4 to 6 inches long. And I saw some not too long ago at a shop in Fort Myers. And they were about that 4 to 6 inch size. And it said on the front of the tank, grows to 12 inches. So I whipped out the photo of the biggest one that I've caught, which is about 30 inches long. And I showed it to the guy who ran the shop. And he said, oh, I had no idea. And then I said, well, look at these, and showed him some bigger ones that I found on the internet where those fish are pushing 40 inches. And it was like, oh, well, I had no clue that they ever got that big. And I said, well, a lot of people didn't have a clue. And so they bought them for their fish tanks. They outgrew the fish tanks. They ate the other fish in the tanks. People threw them in their canals because they didn't want to kill them. And that's how you have clown knife fish here in Florida.
Do you think when they say grew up to 12 inches, that's how big they'll grow in a confined environment like a fish tank.
Yeah, I would say the typical person has a 20-gallon fish tank at their house. So
right.
Here's the thing about that, and this is taking us away from mission, but that's okay. It's good to explain it. A lot of people think that fish grow to the size of their aquarium. It's absolutely not true. What stunts fish in a fish tank is an excess of nutrient pollution, too much nitrogen mostly in the water. So if you were to take a goldfish and put him in a 2-gallon fishbowl and set the fishbowl underneath a faucet on drip so that it's constantly dripping in, and then put a little tiny hole in the bottom so it drips out at the exact same rate, so he always has fresh, clean water, that goldfish will grow to fill the bowl, literally. He will expand until he no longer fits.
Wow. Okay.
So, yes, it's true that you can stunt fish in aquariums by basically poisoning them with their own waste, but you can't make them grow smaller by keeping them in a smaller container unless you're keeping them in an unhealthy way.
Interesting. Okay.
I heard another way that they ended up in our waters was when the storms would come in and people would be out of electricity for a while. They wouldn't want them to die in their tank, so they'd let them go then as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and people have done that with fish both in freshwater and saltwater here in Florida for a long time. So there's all kinds of weird stuff that you can find out there every now and then.
Wow, how long, I mean, for them to become a fish that you can target, these knife fish, how many years ago do you think these people were releasing them for there to be a sustainable population to go out and target? Like 20 years?
So if you look at old aquarium books from like the 1960s, they'll talk about these fish. The name they gave them back then was featherbacks. And they said that featherbacks were a relatively new import at the time, and they were getting something like $60 a piece for them at the aquarium shops in New York, which, you know,
that's a lot back in the 60s.
A lot of money in the 60s, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
So I would say that they probably really became a thing in the 70s as far as having them be a regularly available item.
Okay.
So, yeah, but you're talking about 40-plus years of having those fish out there.
Because I feel like in the last 8 to 10 years, they've really become a fish that people like to target. So I was wondering if that was a recent thing or just like people are undiscovered, you know.
I would say it's probably been 20 years since I heard people start to talk about seeing them in some of the canals over in the South Florida.
Okay.
If you're not familiar with the fish, I suggest you look up a picture, but also a video so you can see how cool they're.
Yeah.
They have an undulating, like,
like an eel
back
tip.
Would you say it's the tail, Josh, or like the dorsal fin?
If you look at these fish, the dorsal fin is really small, the fin that's on the back. And then the fin that runs the entire length of the belly is a modified anal fin. Mm-hmm. The anal fin and the caudal fin being the tail fin, have joined together. So it looks like the fish just has one single fin that runs the whole length of the belly. It's a really bizarre looking animal. And that's why they were popular in aquariums, because it's a crazy looking thing.
They also have a neat trick that they do that other fish can't do. Josh?
Why don't you tell us about the trick, since you're the one who brought it up?
Alex wants, she wants so bad to tell a cool piece of information.
I've never caught one, so I don't know anything about it. That's why I want you to tell me, Josh.
I want to see what this alleged trick is that you think they do.
Do you want me to show you?
Well, this is radio. Nobody's going to be able to see anything.
I don't
want to
see
this. Can you
explain it
with your words?
I'm here.
I heard that they can swim backwards.
They can. And if you keep them in an aquarium, you'll get to see that, because it's very common to keep them with some kind of a little cave that they can use as a shelter. And the fish will swim out, grab food, and then swim backwards the exact same way that they just swam out. They don't turn around. They just zip out and zip right back in.
So you're saying, Josh, like, let's say you have this fish on at the side of the boat and you go to lip it or just grab it. It can go backwards on you, try to go back down to the depths.
Yes. And the largest one that I've caught tried to pull that trick on us. Fortunately, the guys that I was with were more experienced with clown knife fish than I was, and they knew it was going to do that trick, so they had the net behind it and way back behind it ready to go, and it just kind of zipped itself right into the net. But, yeah, it's something that they're definitely going to try to pull on you to try to get away.
Wow.
All right, how are you going to target them?
Step one.
Go to the fish store. Get a big tank. Remove the nitrogen and grow it in your backyard.
Do I need to use a fishing rod or can I just use a net?
Well, you're going to have a hard time with just a net. Although these fish, if you're familiar with small tarpon, they do come up and roll at the surface, very similarly to the way small tarpon will. So if you had a long-handled net and you're really, really fast and accurate, then you might be able to do it with just a net.
Wow. Josh, do they have a lung similar to tarpon? Is that why they roll? Do they grab air out of off the surface?
So I've never seen them roll in an aquarium situation. So I don't know why they're rolling at the surface. It's something
in the wild,
that,
you mean, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a behavior that doesn't make any sense to me. So, you know, a lot of aquarium fish you'll see exhibit that kind of behavior. If you ever kept a fish tank, Corydoras catfish do it. Placostomus catfish will do it. If you're out here fishing in Florida and you're seeing little things come up to the surface constantly and then disappear back down to the bottom, that's usually what it is. It's brown hoplo catfish or Placostomus catfish doing that. And you see that exact same behavior in the fish tank. But I have not seen clown knife show that particular behavior in aquariums. It seems like only the larger fish do it.
That's awesome. Interesting. Interesting. I wonder why that happens in the wild, like you said. Maybe there's less oxygen. It's more oxygenated in an aquarium than it is in the wild.
Very possible.
Interesting.
That's an excellent hypothesis. I'm glad you thought of that.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to have to make a null hypothesis and test that sucker out.
Yes.
So, anyways.
I love that little bit of evolution that they don't continue to do it, like in the tanks.
Right.
You wanted to know how to catch one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, if you wanted to catch one on its natural diet, then what you need to get is, you know what a grass shrimp is?
Mm-hmm. No, I can't say that I do.
Okay, grass shrimp live in most fresh waters in the southeastern U.S.
Yep.
They are little tiny things. Looks just like your regular shrimp, except it's maybe an inch to an inch and a half long.
I have seen them, actually.
In like a freshwater pond, you've seen these freshwater
yes.
shrimp, Alex?
Yeah.
Okay, so take yourself an average-sized grass shrimp. Put it on a 1/0 or 2/0 hook so that it's big enough to actually catch the fish, and toss it out there so that the shrimp acts naturally, and then, yeah, you're probably going to catch some clown knife fish on it.
So you going through the tail of it? How are you hooking it up?
You can't. You can't possibly.
Because
there's a 0% chance that you're going to be able to hook a shrimp that size on a hook that's big enough to actually catch these fish and have the shrimp be able to do anything but just lay there dead. It was a trick. I tricked you.
Oh, my God.
But the reason that
Alex,
I say
put
this,
down that knife.
because the clown knife fish that I harvested and looked at the contents of their stomachs, that was what I noticed in there, was a lot of little grass shrimp.
Mm.
So that's clearly what they're feeding on.
And that's clearly not what you caught it on.
Clearly not. No, absolutely not. We caught our fish on shiners about the length of a middle finger.
My middle finger or your middle finger?
Well, they're pretty close to the same size. I mean, if we're measuring shiners that way, it's about.
That was romantic.
Don't check a midget's hands and say, I want a shiner that size. You know, just normal middle finger size. You know, about this big right here, Barry. So
he just gave me the birds.
And they were happy to eat those, but I did not find any large fish in their stomachs at all. Just little grass shrimp and the shiners that we had used for bait.
Interesting. Okay. So what size hook were you using for these clown knives?
1/0, 2/0 Kaylee hooks.
No, you didn't use circles or regular. Why did you use the Kaylee hooks?
We use the Kaylee hooks because I usually use Kaylee hooks when I'm fishing with shiners.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How about like greenbacks and everything, or is it just shiners specifically?
No, it's just shiners, and it's because of the way I hook them. They're pretty broad across the back
right.
for their size.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot wider than something like a greenback is or a pinfish, and that's where I usually tend to hook those fish, is through the shoulder area.
Gotcha.
So since it's a wider fish, I want a wider gapped hook, and the Kaylee does a really good job with it.
Interesting. Okay. So do you use like a floater of any sort, or do you completely freeline it?
No, we were using floats with them. And just like when you're using a float for bass, you let the float go down and you let the fish have the bait.
Gotcha.
And you let the fish have the bait. And now we're thinking about setting the hook, and we're going to set the hook about now.
So you don't even let him eat it as long. You just like, once you see the floater go down.
Once the float goes down, he has it for maybe 6 to 10 seconds before I'm going to go ahead and hit him.
Gotcha. And what about their mouth? I have never seen one in person. Do they have like a lot of teeth? Do you need to go have a thick leader? Or
no, you do not. They do have teeth, but the teeth are very, very small. So it's basically a smooth mouth. And it's not particularly hard or bony on the inside, so it's pretty easy to set a hook into.
Good. That's good news. Wow, interesting. So when you... What, we're using like 10-pound braid. I know you like to use braid, but...
10-pound braid with 20-pound test leader.
Keeping it simple.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Basically what I would be using for bass.
Gotcha.
So in those same waters.
Would you recommend fishing in it? Well, would you still fish in an area where you're not seeing them roll, or do you fish only where you're seeing them come to the surface?
I would prefer being able to see those fish roll because it lets me know they're there.
Yeah.
But if it's an area where I know that those fish frequent, then I don't necessarily have to see them rolling. Mm. It's just that it's going to be a little bit of a challenge to find those fish in the first place. Mm-hmm. So getting the visual of watching those fish roll is definitely going to be preferable to me.
It's definitely a confidence booster. Well, even if you're not getting a bite, just to see them, you know you're in the fish.
Well, because the other thing is, you're fishing for these things in South Florida. You're in the canals. You have other things there that are going to eat these shiners. You know, you put them out there, and it might get hit by a pickerel or a mudfish or a bass or a peacock. And if I'm specifically going to be targeting these clown knives, then I really want to make sure that they're there, you know? Otherwise, we're just fishing, which is cool.
Yeah.
You know, we might catch all kinds of stuff. But if a clown knife is the goal, then I want to know that those fish are around.
I hear you.
They're pretty neat if you mark them on your screen, because they're like slash marks. They're not horizontal. They're
because they're hanging head down.
Yeah.
If you watch them in a fish tank, they'll do the same thing.
Wow, that's so cool. And from the videos I've seen, Josh, it seems like they catch the majority of the clown knife fish like more towards the center of the canal or whatever body of water they're fishing. Is that somewhat true, or do they also hang around the shore?
So we didn't see them hanging around structure areas.
Okay.
What we saw them doing was hanging around drop-off areas. Now, some of those drop-offs happened to coincide with bridges, and I think that the bridge being there didn't deter them from hanging out there, but I think it was really the drop-off that they wanted to be there for.
Gotcha. Okay. That answers, like, all my... I feel like I'm ready to go catch one now.
Yeah. Well, when you hook one, be prepared for the aerial assault that's about to happen.
Do they throw the hook as easily as, like, a tarpon does?
So when a tarpon jumps, a tarpon shakes its head.
Yeah.
That's one of the coolest things about tarpon is the sound of those gills slapping as they go.
Right.
When a snook jumps, it shakes its head. When a clown knife jumps, it just jumps.
And just no shaking of the head.
No.
So the hook stays in there.
Yeah.
Awesome. By the way, I just put together a compilation video of all my tarpon jumps from 2019. So you can check that out on Tarpon World on YouTube.
If you've got an hour.
Yeah. It's a lot of slow-mo, cool music. It's just what I dream about. And I end it with one of my the biggest tarpon I've ever hooked. And it's just in slow motion. That visuals like ingrained in my memory for the rest of my life, so hope it can get into yours as well.
Did we get any slow motions of your reactions to the tarpon jumping?
No, it's just all I just start squealing like a little kid. I thought I'd leave that out.
Yeah, but a slow motion squeal is like see, I would have interspersed this with reaction shots, you know, as a good film director would, so that way, you know, we see what you're doing as the tarpon is jumping.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a great idea. It's not too late.
No, I can maybe take that off and take it off YouTube and re-upload a better version.
Yeah, we can definitely do some reactions. That's going to be great. I'll even get some things for you to react to so that they're natural reactions.
Perfect.
This is going to be great. We can do that right here in the studio.
Yeah. Are you down for it, Alex?
I'm down.
Get him a fishing rod to hold. It'll look completely natural.
Oh, man. So.
So where am I going to catch this?
Giant location.
Clown knife fish.
So we got options. Here in Florida, you have the Lake Worth canals. You have the canals over in Miami, which there are fewer of them, but they are starting to expand there. This seems to be a fish that the Lake Worth area seems to be kind of almost like home base for them. But almost anywhere in South Florida, you might run across these fish because people have started to transplant them all over. And this is a fish that transplants very, very well. It's a tough, durable species. And if you wanted to move them from one body of water to another, a cooler full of water with an aerator is probably more than enough to do it. That's illegal. Don't do it. But people who have done it have been very successful with it, moving them from one body of water to another. As with any other non-native species down here,
a pond that's 5 foot away from another pond?
Absolutely not. you may release it in waters where you caught it, and that's it.
Wow, interesting. Okay.
So if you catch it on one side of a dam and drop it over on the other side, you're breaking the law. If you catch it and bring it home to your aquarium and then decide, hey, you know what, I'm kind of tired of it, I'm going to go put him back where I caught him, well, now you're breaking the law because there's no proof of where you caught him. If you're going to let him go right where you caught him, right then.
Okay.
It's good to know.
Pocketlawyer.com.
And so I heard you saying you check the contents of your biggest clown night fish, and you actually, that's leading me to
the eating of the fish.
So did it live up to the hype?
Here's the thing about a clown night fish. Have you ever tried to fillet a ladyfish, Barry?
Yes.
Okay, so in filleting the ladyfish, did you notice that there seem to be a lot of extra bones that don't belong there or aren't really attached to anything?
That and the meat's pretty mushy.
Yeah. So very, very similar to the process of filleting a clown knife fish, only it's much larger.
And it's wider, so you have to like use a longer knife, right?
Yeah. Possibly. And the bones are really weird. The bones, it's almost like the meat is
intertwined,
connected around these fibrous bones. It's just this bizarre skeletal system there. But I said, you know what? They love them in India, so I'm going to forge on ahead and try some of this anyway. And it was horrible. Just horrible.
Gotcha.
Just
because it was
disgusting.
Crunchy?
I could get the meat from around the bones once it was cooked. You could slide those fibrous bones out of there. But the meat was just, it was nasty. It didn't have a mud flavor to it. It didn't have a metallic flavor to it. But it had a distinctive and repulsive flavor.
Wow.
So
where was that fish from?
Lake Worth.
Where is that?
What county you mean, or
what city is it by?
Lake Worth.
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm from Ohio.
I know. Everybody has to be from somewhere. Don't feel guilty about it.
Saltwater fishing. What's that?
That was actually pretty funny.
So yeah, Lake Worth over on the East Coast.
Okay.
So
because I know the body of water that I fish for them in. There's no way I would eat anything out of that water.
Yeah, and I did try the peacock bass from that same body of water, and they tasted just fine.
And you lived, so yep. That's something.
Yep. We didn't keep any of the largemouths, but did keep a peacock just to see. Delicious. So, yeah, maybe don't keep the clown knife fish for eating, unless you feel like trying it, in which case, you know, maybe you'll do better than I did, but I think that's the last one I'm going to sample.
If anything, I feel like you lost the hair on your head because of it, right?
No, it was already gone before that.
Okay.
But it did cause me to grow extra hair on my butt. So.
Well, we'll leave it on that. So, Clown Knifefish, hope you guys learned quite a bit of information from here. Josh has hair in extra places we didn't need to know about.
Did you say butt or bod?
Well, yeah,
it doesn't matter where. I didn't even know that. I don't think anyone else did either. You can find me on tarpinworld.com, YouTube, or Instagram. Just type in tarpinworld. Alex, where can everybody find you?
This will be the only episode I ever talk about www.alexandrabenard.com.
All right. And Josh?
RadioWaterline.com and FishCoach.net.
But come see us at Fish and Frank's.
Oh, yeah. So we'll see you on the next episode of Big Fish Radio.
Yeah.